For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouquet got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
What is up, Zoneheads, and welcome back to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. I'm Greg Rhodes, your host for the weekly underreported episode, where we take a look at a story that's flying a little bit under the radar. Or it might even be a major local story, and we just take a little bit of a different look at it. And that's really what we're going to be doing this week as we take a look at the Orlando Magic. Now, this current team is very impressive. They're playoff bound, and really the most exciting team that we've seen here in Orlando in over a decade as far as the NBA is concerned. And as an Orlando fan, you now feel like you've kind of made it through the darkness. You're finally outside of where this bad place has been for so long, it really does feel like. And you've come out with a view that very few fan bases can really appreciate. And it's a view that, honestly, as Magic fans, we've all had before. Maybe even a few times if you've been a fan since the beginning. But let's go back and take a look almost 15 years ago now and take a look at that last time that the Orlando Magic really were a team at the top of the NBA. And we'll kind of go through just kind of how it fell apart so spectacularly. Now, if you will, and if you're driving, please don't do this, but if you will, just go ahead and close your eyes and just think back to 2011. You've probably got the party rock anthem from LMFAO or even Super Bass from this newcomer Nicki Minaj coming out over your corded earbuds from your iPhone 4S, but you've probably still got your iPod. There's only 5 Fast and the Furious movies at this point, so you've only just seen Fast 5. Tom Brady only has 3 Super Bowl wins. It's a great time to be alive. Unless you are a Magic fan, because little do you know, this is the last year of the Dwight Howard, Stan Van Gundy era. Now, looking back with 2020 vision, we now realize that that might have been the most successful period in Magic basketball. The Magic went to 5, had 5 straight playoff appearances with Dwight Howard and Stan Van Gundy. 6 if you include Brian Hill's last year, the year before Van Gundy got there. And a finals appearance where they lost to the Lakers. And Dwight Howard has won 3 straight defensive players of the year. Now, you're very optimistic if you're a Magic fan. You love the idea that you have maybe the most dominant defensive player of that generation of centers. You are coming into an NBA season that's just coming off of a strike reduction. So going into 2011, there was an NBA strike that we'll go into a little bit. But the real big focus of that was really reducing the players' share of the revenue. So you lost a little bit of revenue coming out of that as the players. You went from a 57% share of team revenue for your salary down to a 49 to 51%, depending on the year kind of thing, share. But another big thing that came out of that was the amnesty clause. And if you're an Orlando Magic fan, you certainly remember who that ended up being reserved and used for. Now, coming up on the end of this Dwight Howard and Stan Van Gundy era, the Magic really were trying to kind of recapture what happened in 2009 when they made it all the way to the NBA Finals. And one of the ways that they thought that might actually happen was to bring in another ball-dominant scorer to really pair with Dwight Howard. And that was Gilbert Arenas. That was the player that they decided to try and bring in. They traded away Rashard Lewis, who was a fan favorite, who really became an icon in the area. If you've gone to any of the games here at the 35th anniversary, you've seen Rashard Lewis there. But they traded him away in 2010 to bring in Gilbert Arenas, who's coming off of an injury. And this did not go the way the Orlando Magic planned. Gilbert played 1 season with the Orlando Magic and averaged 8 points. Now, again, this is a last-ditch effort to try and convince Dwight Howard, who's coming up on an expiring contract, to stick around. But it's just not working. He's not the guy that they expected. He's not the player that they wanted to have that investment in, which was 2 years and $40 million remaining of an investment, which might not sound like a lot in today's NBA contract terms, but at the time, it was a huge burden against the salary cap. Now, with this amnesty clause, the Magic were able to cut one player from their books completely. He's not going to count against the salary cap. No, you waive him completely from the team. You still have to pay this player, which the Magic do. The Magic end up working out a 5-year payment plan for Gilbert Arenas. But he's completely absolved from the salary cap, so he's not affecting that anymore. So you have even more money to continue to spend, either to build up around Dwight Howard or to be able to pay Dwight Howard to stay. But another part of this strike-induced season included a reduced schedule. So with the strike, the league missed out on the early part of the schedule. They were not able to start games until Christmas Day. Now, they weren't willing to extend the season, so they decided to just play a truncated season. They played 66 games that year. And that affects a little bit of the results of this season. So as we get into those results, just keep that in mind, that it was a reduced game season. So as we look through the Magic for that year, a 66-game season again, the Magic finished 37-29, and that's good enough for sixth in the East. Dwight Howard led the league in rebounds with 14.5, and there were 10 players that played 45 or more games for this team. And now going through this list, it's going to pop off some memorable players that really kind of stand out in Magic lore, especially as a local fan myself. So Dwight Howard, Ryan Anderson, Jameer Nelson, Jason Richardson, Hedo Turkoglu, J.J. Redick, Glenn Big Baby Davis, Chris Duhon, Quentin Richardson, Earl Clark all played 45 or more games for the Magic that season. And mixed in there are the stat leaders. So in starts, Ryan Anderson actually had a full and healthy season that year, which is, as you watch Ryan Anderson's career continue on, this might have been one of the last ones. Ryan Anderson started 61 games for the Magic that season. Dwight Howard led the team in points per game at 20.6. Obviously led the team in rebounds per game since he led the league at 14.5. Jameer Nelson led the team in assists with 5.7 assists per game. And then J.J. Redick led the team in three-point percentage. Now, I had to adjust this a little bit because there was another player, Chris Duhon, who I think he averaged less than 2 3-point attempts per game, so he led the team in field goal percentage. So I upped it a little bit to where J.J. Redick averaged 4.1 threes per game he attempted, which is crazy to think because of our idea of J.J. Redick is this three-point shooting machine. But back then, even averaging 4 3-point shots per game was averaging a pretty decent amount of shots. Not anymore, but back in the day, he went about 41.8% from three that season.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own. You've got a business to worry about and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
Now, again, as we said, this is coming up on the end of that Magic run with Howard and Van Gundy, and they ended up losing to the Pacers in the first round of this series. And a couple of names that you might recognize out of this one, too. This is only the sophomore season for Paul George and Lance Stephenson. Now, this is pre-PG-13. He still wore number 24 at this point, Paul George. This team was dominated by Roy Hibbert, George Hill, David West, Danny Granger. These are the names that stand out to me from that team. Paul George and Lance Stephenson weren't even names yet. They hadn't even made an all-star team at this point. This is the same season that the Heatles finally won a championship. They ended up beating Oklahoma City 4-1 in that series in the finals. OKC, this is the year that they had Durant and Westbrook and James Harden. James Harden coming off the bench as a sixth man on this amazing roster that OKC had put together. And as we come up on the end of this season now, this is where a lot of the very interesting things start coming out about this team. Now, we knew that there were issues going into the year. There was rumblings, there was grumblings. It was coming up on the, like I said, on the end of Dwight Howard's contract. The Orlando Magic had dealt with this before when Shaquille O'Neal was coming up on the end of a contract. So the fan base was already a little bit jaded and concerned about what could happen this offseason. And just before we even reach the end of the season, in April, this uncomfortable interview comes out with Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard. And if you're, again, if you're a longtime Magic fan, you know what I'm about to play you. But I had to play some clips from that interview, and we'll discuss a little bit of it on the other side of the interview.
Man, how do you know it's true?
I was told it was true by people in our management. So, you know, right from the top. So.
What did management tell you? Are they going to stand behind?
They haven't told me anything, and they don't need to. I mean, I'm the coach right now, and, you know, I'm the coach until they decide I'm not the coach. They don't need to tell me anything, you know. And I don't expect them to tell me anything. What I expect is that we play better defense tonight. Well, you know what, to me, and I mean, look, since everything came out yesterday, you know, I'll be honest, you know, you know you're going to get asked and you think about how you're going to respond and, you know, and the whole thing. And the only thing I'm ever uncomfortable with is bullshit, you know. And so to come in and no comment or deny that it's true and everything. I mean, the only thing, I guess, David, that ever liberates me is just, you know, be honest and deal with what's out there. Some people have a hard time with that, I guess, but I ain't worried about that. So.
Yeah, Stan, we're not worried about that, right?
That's what I just said. We got to be worried about winning games.
Yeah, what's our main concern right now? Jameer.
We have to stop Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks tonight.
And the New York Knicks.
That's exactly
That's
right.
the plan, right?
That is the plan. That's what I just said.
Dwight, are the stories true about?
Come on, man. Yeah, the stories from Dave Ping are true.
Stan just said they were true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was true?
Stan just said that you wanted him fired.
I said that?
Yeah, that's what Stan said.
Who did I say that to?
According to Master.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I'm asking you. Because you guys got so many sources.
Your coach said he heard it from Manny.
I didn't hear anything.
I'm just telling you.
And I'm just telling you.
Now, if you are unfamiliar with said interview, let me paint the picture a little bit for you. So, Stan Van Gundy is giving his shoot-around press conference, and apparently the day before, some information came out that Dwight Howard wanted him gone. And that's the talk of the town, obviously. Makes a lot of sense, right? You're going to want to ask the coach about why one of his players wants him gone. And Stan Van Gundy's never been someone that's gone around a subject and not going to talk about it and kind of not give you a straight shoot answer on a lot of things. And you know what he told him? He told him exactly what he heard from management. He told him exactly what his thoughts on it were and where his focus was, and he was moving on to the next game, and he can only control what he can control. And in the middle of that interview, you hear Dwight Howard come in, and at that moment, while Stan Van Gundy's having to defend himself from being requested to be fired by this very player, he comes around and puts his arm around him. That's when you hear him talking to him there in the middle of that interview. And earlier in that interview, Stan Van Gundy talks about how one of the things that he can't stand is when people won't own up to some of the things that they said. And what does Dwight Howard do immediately after? He doesn't own up to a single thing he said. Talk about a fractured relationship. Talk about losing confidence and the ability that you had to communicate with either your coach or your players. It's shot all in that moment. And from that interview, I think everybody kind of had a good idea that this was going to be the end. And it really was. It really kind of took off after that. Dwight Howard ends up leaving. Again, having requested the trade earlier in the year, he already kind of gave an idea of which teams that he'd want to go to. This is when he makes his first trip around the sun with the LA Lakers. And him and Kobe didn't exactly get along, so he ends up leaving at the end of that season, the 1 year he played in LA, and signs a 4-year, $87.5 million max contract with the Houston Rockets. Now, Dwight kind of bounces around the league for the remainder of his career. I think the last I heard, he might even still be playing in China a little bit over in Beijing, but he's out of the NBA at this point. He's made comments about wanting to retire with the Magic now that he's at the end of his career. We'll see if anything happens with that. Stan Van Gundy ends up getting fired as well, along with GM Otis Smith, who mutually parted ways with the organization. You know how that goes. And that leads to the hiring of young Rob Hennigan, who at the time was the youngest GM to have ever gotten that job at the age of 30, and immediately introduced the Orlando Magic to the darkest period of the franchise's history. The longest playoff drought in franchise history. He never was able to really draft the right players to put in place around this team. The trade that they put together to move on from Dwight Howard ended up bringing in Vucevic, ended up bringing in Aaron Aflalo. A couple of the draft picks that really were like the highlights, I guess, if you want to call them that. Elfrid Payton and Wesu Wundu. Not exactly home runs. But back to Stan Van Gundy, who, after being fired unceremoniously from the Orlando Magic, he ends up leaving coaching for a couple of seasons, coming back with the Detroit Pistons in 2014-2015. He was part GM and coach at the time. That didn't exactly work out in Detroit, but Van Gundy's last coaching job ended up being in New Orleans in 2020 and 2021. But really, as I mentioned, this so spectacularly failed by the end of it. It was an amazing run, and again, the highest high that this franchise has ever seen. It was the best window that this franchise has seen, even if you consider the Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway era, even if you consider just how explosive Tracy McGrady was for this team. This was the best, most dominant team that the Magic have ever seen. And it just exploded at the end. So why am I bringing all this up as we're about to see the dawning of a new Magic era that could be just as successful, if not more? Because that's the goal, is to finally get that first NBA Finals banner hanging in the Kia Center. I want you to enjoy it. I feel like there was a lot of angst surrounding the end of that era. And for so long, so many fans really did just dwell on the fact that we've lost another franchise player. There's no way that this franchise can ever continue as we continue to lose these kinds of franchise-changing players, because we just aren't the right city to have these kinds of players. The best I can tell you to do is enjoy what we have with Paolo and Mosley. This is the most exciting the Magic have been in over a decade. This is the most high-profile player and coach that we've had since Van Gundy and Howard. But we've got to break that cycle that we keep on talking about of losing these franchise players. And ways that we're continuing to do that is by finally supporting this team the way that they needed to be supported. Now, the Magic, for even in the darkest of days, maintained a decent fan turnout. We talk a little bit about how you see some of these other franchises around the league that are selling tickets for pennies, begging people to come see star players like Zion Williamson. The Orlando Magic, even in those darkest times, never fell out of the top 20 when it came to attendance. And this season, they're only 12th in attendance overall in the league. But that's a little bit misleading, because according to the figures that I've seen for their attendance, they're averaging 18,877 fans per game. And according to Ticketmaster's capacity for the Kia Center, it's 18,846. So we're over 100% in attendance on average for every game at the Kia Center this year. That's an amazing feat for the Magic, who, again, had strong attendance even through those lean years, but to have 100% attendance for an entire year is very impressive. That's a great show of support from the community for this team, that they're just as excited for this team as what seemingly the rest of the league is about this team. And as we continue to grow, we invest in new facilities. The new training facility that opened is state-of-the-art and is the envy of NBA players around the league. It was just last season when they talked to, I believe it was Ja Morant or it was somebody else on the Grizzlies, who were gushing over how impressed they were with those facilities and how Memphis has nothing like that. Not even close. And then you take into account one of the best arenas in the league, in the Kia Center, that just received a $226 million tax allotment from that tourism development tax, you know, that all that money that they were going to try and use to build a new baseball stadium. Well, they still have that money, and $226 million to revamp and clean up and prepare that arena for another All-Star game is a way to show players that you're willing to invest in the facilities and the arenas and the locker rooms and where they spend most of their time and days. But the biggest thing that we need to take out of this is to not be afraid to use the max contract offering. That's how we lost Shaq. That's a part of the reason why they lost Dwight, was because of the money concerns, because they weren't able to bring in the right players, because they had all this money invested in the wrong guys like Gilbert Arenas. Avoid a Shaq rerun. Give Paolo the max contract when it comes up, and don't even blink an eye. But again, this is the most exciting that the Magic have been in forever. So just make sure to take that time to enjoy this run for however long it happens to last. Because you never know when that next rebuild is just around the corner or max contract gets denied. So what do you think of the Orlando Magic season to this point as they gear up for hopefully a deep playoff run? Is this the most fun team we've had since the Dwight Van Gundy era? Or do you have a soft spot for the Vucevic-led group at the end of that decade? Talk about it now in the Zoneheads Orlando Facebook group, where these kinds of discussions happen all the time. Just search for Zone-Heads on Facebook. And don't forget to look up my site, MySportsFlorida.com, and at MySportsFlorida on all social media. Thank you so much for listening to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. I'm your host, Greg Rhodes, here for The Underreported.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind, commercials, live endorsements, podcast production. You know, we can make you sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow this show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a Zonehead, also on Instagram and on YouTube, short clips found there. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Continue to let the internet know that we are here. Throw us a follow, rate us, review us. We greatly appreciate it. Things are heating up. Stay tuned for tomorrow's Hot Takes Only episode, the perfect weekend listen as you unwind from the work week. We'll chat soon, Zoneheads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.